From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. It's almost impossible to keep track of what's on television, but get ready for a new edition.
Hello there, I'm Laura Kyle. These are some of the top stories we're following on Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera, the pan-Arab news service, could be coming to your television screen soon. It's buying San Francisco-based Current TV, the channel founded by former Vice President Al Gore. What should we make of this latest addition to the daily television news diet? Is Al Jazeera a legitimate news operation or merely a partisan apologist? All the news according to Al Jazeera, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Name the network that last year won three of television journalism's most coveted awards, the DuPont Columbia, the Peabody, and the George Polk Award. ABC and CBS won two out of three, but the network that won all three was Al Jazeera, the pan-Arab news service once viewed by many as an apologist for terrorism. And now Al Jazeera may soon be available on your home television. This week it purchased Current, the liberal news organization founded by Al Gore. Who will carry Al Jazeera isn't completely clear. Cable giant Time Warner, for example, has already dropped Current. But many cable services are expected to replace Current with Al Jazeera America. And in this hour of Forum, we consider what that means for journalism and what it means for news consumers as well. Joining us, Tom Rosensteel, Executive Director of the American Press Institute. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Dave. Good to see you.
Happy to have you with us once again. Philip Sieb joins us as well, journalism professor and director of USC's Center on Public Diplomacy, author of The Al Jazeera Effect, and editor of Al Jazeera English, Global News in a Changing World. Phil, nice to talk to you again.
Good morning.
Happy to have you with us. And Bob Wheelock joins us as well, executive producer for The Americas for Al Jazeera English. Al Jazeera English World News Program airs on Link TV's Global News Hour, which is available on many satellite networks and San Francisco's Educational Access Channel. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have all of you with us. Phil Sieb, let's start with you. What will be different for American news consumers to have Al Jazeera now on the dial?
Well, assuming that they will be able to, to find Al Jazeera, I mean, the Current TV is try to find that on your cable list right now. It's not the easiest thing to do. But if they do have access to Al Jazeera America, and if Al Jazeera America follows the pattern of Al Jazeera English, I think what American viewers will have the opportunity to see is a news product that is oriented toward covering many of the stories that are undercovered by the mainstream U.S. and, for that media, the mainstream global media. When Al Jazeera English began, they said we are going to cover the global South, and to a considerable extent, they've been true to that promise. They have reporting coming out of sub-Saharan Africa, for example, and Latin America that you're not likely to see on the regular American networks. So for a country that tends to be very insular in its outlook, I think having an Al Jazeera product easily available will be a great asset.
And Phil Sieb, what was behind the view that many have, perhaps sometimes still do, of Al Jazeera as being sort of an apologist for Al-Qaeda? Give us the sort of historical context of that.
Well, I think to a certain extent that's a fantasy from the mind of Don Rumsfeld. Al Jazeera, given that it has been a dominant news organization in the Middle East, had access to, for example, videotapes of Osama bin Laden, and they put them on the air, edited, but they put bin Laden on the air. I think, given that he was one of the most newsworthy people of his time, that was good journalism. I suspect the American networks, had they had access to those tapes, would have put edited versions on as well. It's been said that Al Jazeera carried executions of hostages. That simply never happened. So part of this is a myth that was created during the days mainly of the Iraq War and the post 9/11 sentiment that was both anti-Arab and anti-Muslim, and Al Jazeera got kind of caught up in that mix. I think if you look at their programming, you're not going to like all of it, but there are a lot of people who don't like all of what they see on Fox News either. So I think having another voice such as Al Jazeera's is a healthy thing. Nobody's going to be forced to watch it.
Phil Seeb, professor of journalism and director of the USC Center on Public Diplomacy. Bob Wheelock, at Al Jazeera, fill in from your point of view as well that view that some people may still have about what Al Jazeera represents. Do you see that as a primary challenge in establishing this new service on American cable television, that Al Jazeera is not what perhaps Don Rumsfeld thought it was?
You know, I'm not naive, but I will tell you, mostly when I hear about this, it's in questions like this and in formats where people bring it up. In my day-to-day experiences and in my reporters' day-to-day experiences, we really don't get hit with that. Once or twice during this very long election year, or 2 years, there were places where we wanted to go in and do interviews and do stories from. And, yeah, there, you know, we were told, you know, we don't want Muslims here. That did happen. But it's not an everyday occurrence by any stretch. I think, and thank you, Philip, for saying, you know, some of the things were alleged to have been done on this channel, which were done when I was not working here, but they weren't done. You know, they just weren't true. They were put out there. Most of the people who have a negative impression have never seen the channel, partly because it wasn't as available, but also because they didn't take the opportunity they could to look online and watch and do their research.
Bob Wheelock at Al Jazeera. Tom Rosenstiel, describe some of the challenge that's before Al Jazeera now, not so much in terms of changing the way in which it's viewed, but just having people find it, given the plethora of different options that are before news consumers. What do they have to do so that, as Phil Seeb described it, people actually are able to find them?
Well, that's one of the reasons that getting cable clearance by acquiring Current is so important to Al Jazeera. When they came to the United States with Al Jazeera English about 6-7 years ago, they were unable to get on most cable systems. Cable providers really didn't want the political headache, and it was also a business decision that this channel might not have much in the way of viewership. And a cable system is both negotiating with community governmental bodies as a utility, and is trying to maximize profit by putting together as many popular channels as it can and trying to get people to buy their product. When it was unable to get those clearances and was only in about a handful of cities in the country, it was reduced to basically being on satellite and being online. When you're online, people have to be looking for you. You're not going to stumble across Al Jazeera English by flipping a dial, by clicking through. You've got to, you know the address or Google it. And to a large degree, if you're on a satellite system, it's the same situation. So the idea that people could stumble across you, which is challenging enough on cable, is almost non-existent for Al Jazeera up to now. And so to accomplish whatever it is the royal family of Qatar wants to accomplish by having Al Jazeera America, this is a significant advance, because suddenly people can come across it accidentally.
And what do we know, Tom, about how people migrate from online to cable? Is that something that Al Jazeera can count on happening?
Well, I think it's challenging. I mean, the role that Al Jazeera English has played, and the role that that other foreign cable systems have played. There's a French channel. There are channels in English about lots of countries. Most of them are not full-time channels, but there are news programs for many, many countries available on cable now. Most of us are unaware of all of them. The real purpose, the real value of cable news in the United States for the first 20 years of it was that it was a breaking news place where you could see events as they were occurring and you didn't have to wait for the evening news. That advantage of cable news has largely gone away and been ceded to the Internet. When something's happening, I can go on my phone wherever I am. I'm in a subway, and I can find out about it. People don't turn to cable for breaking news in the same way that they did in 1980 or 1996 when Fox and MSNBC were born. So, but for an ethnic or a regional or foreign cable provider, there's another reason to go, which, as Phil said, is you can learn about parts of the world that are undercovered in mainstream English language media in the U.S. So that's how the Hispanic or the Spanish language press has thrived in the U.S. And that's the role that, frankly, Arab American media that's local in the U.S. also plays. If you're an Arab American in Dearborn, Michigan, you know, you'll read a local Arab American paper, often in English as much as in Arabic, because they can tell you about parts of the world that you're not going to learn about in any other media. So there's a value here or a reason to watch that is different than simply watching Fox or CNN or even a local cable channel, because it's got content that in some ways is unique, regardless of the perspective.
Tom Rosensteel, Executive Director of the American Press Institute. So Bob Wheelock, is part of what Al Jazeera America can offer, will it in some ways be a resurgence of breaking news coverage so that it goes back to that initial purpose, as Tom was describing, of what cable news once offered?
I don't know if it's a resurgence. It's a staple of what we do. It's sort of what we're known for and build a reputation for. You know, everybody always refers to the Arab Spring coverage. You know, our mission is to, whatever the next event is, to equal or surpass that coverage. The main thing we want not to lose is what makes us unique, is that we do cover parts of the world where other people aren't. We take viewers places they otherwise will never go or won't see. We do have very robust coverage in Africa, very strong coverage in Latin America and in Central America. That does give us a little different outlook and a little broader coverage zone than anything else that's on the American cable stations. Our problem has been, as we all know, hindered by distribution and getting eyeballs. The internet content, and the numbers show us that about 40% of our really large internet audience comes from the United States. So there's an appetite for international news in the United States. We've heard for years from the networks, there's just not that much interest. No, there's just not that much available. Americans are interested in national news. They know that it impacts their lives, their paychecks, their jobs. They know that their economy, their jobs impact things that happen overseas and around the world. And certainly in the past 12, 15 years, there have been so many American forces overseas that I think even your average American who may not have been able to find Afghanistan on the map before is now pretty well in tune to what's going on in that country and, you know, what our reaction has been.
And Philip Sieb, I mean, it is interesting when you look at some of the acknowledgments and awards that Al Jazeera has received. Their DuPont, I believe, was actually for a documentary on Haiti. It's not all about necessarily what's going on in the Arab world. And yet, if international coverage was something that people yearned for in the United States, wouldn't CNN have been more successful with that, whereas CNN seems to have pulled back from really providing that kind of coverage?
Well, I think politics gets into it. I think CNN has found itself whipsawed between MSNBC on the left and Fox on the right and has, to a certain extent, lost its compass in terms of what it wants to cover, what it wants its image to be. And I think along those lines, it's very important that this idea of an Al Jazeera America remain true to the concept that motivates Al Jazeera English, which is to stress global coverage and not to become too U.S. oriented, not to become kind of a minor league version of what CNN and the other cable networks have done. I think it is true that Americans, although it kind of rises and falls, they do have an appetite for getting another view of the world. I remember back in 2003, during the early days of the invasion of Iraq, there was a huge surge in Americans visiting various BBC products because they wanted another take on what was going on. And I think Al Jazeera America can offer that, and they have to remember that they are unique, that they are providing an international product, not just another American product. And I think if they do that, they'll have a decent audience. They're not going to sweep the ratings. They're not going to knock off other networks by any means. But I think they will find a growing audience that has been nurtured to a certain extent by getting news on the Internet that is interested in international affairs and will come to the kind of solid reporting that Al Jazeera has been providing.
Philip C., Professor of Journalism and Director of USC Center on Public Diplomacy. I'd like to hear your views on this question as well. What do you think of the fact that Al Jazeera may now be available soon on your home television? Is that a development that you find intriguing? Is it the kind of service that you would watch? Is it something that concerns you in any way? We welcome your thoughts and contributions at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org as well. I want to ask you all some about the question of ownership. What does it mean that Al Jazeera is owned by Qatar or Qatar, depending on your preferred pronunciation? Tom Reels and Seal, you often talk about how ownership of a news organization is really the key in many ways to what it provides. What do you think we should make of that?
Well, Tom Johnson, who was worked for LBJ and then was the publisher of the LA Times, worked for Otis Chandler and then went to be the president of CNN under Ted Turner, once said to me that in his career in media and in business generally, he came to the conclusion that one thing had more influence than anything else over the kind of news that an organization provided, and that was the values of the owner, their motive and what they wanted to accomplish. They decided the budget. They decided who to put in charge. So many things in the end flowed from that. And I think in my 30 years of looking at the press, whether it's a chain or a local owner here or television, there is a lot of truth to that. There are structural elements that are built into the kind of medium you're working in, too, television versus print versus online, that matter a lot. But so the question becomes, what are the values of the owner here? Why are they doing this? What are they trying to accomplish? And how much, how important is it to them? How willing are they to extend resources if those resources are not, giving them a financial return? If the bottom line is not the issue, then that makes a significant difference. And what's their time horizon on determining whether something is a success, or is there a time horizon? So I think I think some of that is unknowable until you examine over time the product.
Yeah.
Is there a political purpose to this, or is it something more abstract, like broader perspectives and more perspectives will make the world better, which was to some extent a kind of Ted Turner's motivation in a way. I do think that journalism is a cultural artifact. The way you tell a story has to depend on who the audience is, what metaphors and language they will understand. CNN, in the end, wanted to be an international network. I don't think anyone views it as a pan-national network. They see it as an American network that provides information from ultimately that perspective in some way, and that makes it a little different than the BBC. I don't think in the end there is any escaping the recognition that the owner is in Qatar, and is a very wealthy family that whose purposes may be different than a commercial corporation.
And Bob Wheelock, how is that? Tell us how that's affected you. I mean, is there something that happens between ownership and news content?
When I started here, and I've been here almost a year now, after 25 years at ABC, four at NBC, I did my research. I had concerns. I spoke to people. I was assured there's no interference, and I've had none. I can assure you the Emir has never called me. there's a new structure in place. There's an editorial board in Doha made up of senior staff, producers, the editors of news, the president of the news division, just like at ABC, NBC, anywhere else. We have daily news meetings between Doha, London, and ourselves to discuss coverage plans for the network. It's a normal news operation. Nobody has ever, in my time here, said I have to do a story, I don't have to do it a certain way, or that I cannot do a story.
Yeah, and
not once.
And Philip C., does that sync up with your own observations and writings about Al Jazeera?
Well, I think so for the most part. Al Jazeera was founded not out of a love of journalism, but out of a love of enhancing Qatar's power. Before Al Jazeera, most people had never heard of Qatar, and the people here, the rulers of this country, which is enormously wealthy, has the highest per capita GDP in the world, have great ambitions. They want to be the next Saudi Arabia in terms of wielding power within the Middle East. And if you watch what they've done in the past few years, their involvement in the Libyan revolution, their involvement in other activities in this region, the fact that they went out and successfully got the World Cup for 2022, and the various things that they're doing shows that they are a very ambitious government, a very ambitious country. That said, I agree with Bob. I've done a lot of research on Al Jazeera, and for the most part, it operates like any news organization. It has enormously talented people working for it, and if you want to find evidence of Al Jazeera pulling its punches or slanting one way or the other, I think that's very hard to find. Now, Al Jazeera Arabic reflects the politics of the region. It's an Arab channel. And certainly if you look at some of the coverage of Israel-Palestine, for example, you will see reflected in that coverage to a certain extent on the Arabic channel the political sentiments of much of the Arab world. But, that goes with the territory. You watch Fox News, you'll see political sentiments as reflected by parts of the American population. So I think it's a valuable addition to the roster of world news organizations, without any doubt.
Bob Wheelock, executive producer for the Americas for Al Jazeera English. We'll talk more about the different Al Jazeeras and also what Al Jazeera America, as it comes to this country, will mean for both journalism and for news consumers when we return. Here's our number if you want to join our conversation. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. If you've already had the opportunity to watch Al Jazeera English, what do you think? What do you think that will offer if it's more widespreadly available here in the United States? I'd like to hear from you. Join us at 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org, or you can post your thoughts on our Facebook page on our website as well. We'll be back to talk more about this in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, Al Jazeera America, may soon be coming to your home television screen. Al Jazeera purchased Current TV, the San Francisco-based news operation founded by former Vice President Al Gore. Question is what it will provide to news consumers, what it means for journalism, and how available it'll actually be. On that last question, Tom Rosenstiel, Time Warner had already dropped Current. Not clear whether or not they'll reconsider having Al Jazeera as part of its future offerings. Can you just briefly describe, Tom, what the rules are on this? Are you required to keep it on if you had Current? What can you do about whether or not, what can you tell people, rather, about whether or not they'll be able to see Al Jazeera?
According to the contracts, at least as it's been reported in the press, when cable channels work by signing long-term, usually multi-year contracts with a cable delivery, a cable provider, a cable system, and a fee goes, some amount of money per viewer. According to the rules, when a cable channel, at least when incurrence contract, if it were sold, the cable system would have the right to drop the channel. The contract, in other words, becomes void, and a new contract has to be initiated with the new owner. As it's been reported, former Vice President Al Gore did a lot of personal lobbying of cable systems as they were negotiating the sale, because the value of current to Al Jazeera depended on what kind of clearances they thought they might be able to get up front. So rather than every system dropping them the way that Time Warner has, or has indicated that it will, apparently a good many, perhaps up to 40 million viewers will have access. Now, that could change, just because that's sort of the initial account of it doesn't mean that that's how things will play out after the political and sort of media fallout of the sale is better known. Time Warner is a very important cable system because they are in major cities such as New York. But there is a dynamic here. These cable delivery systems are kind of operate in a political context. If it becomes perceived as a negative in the marketplace for a cable system, that may change how they view it. But Gore made a strong case because he got paid more money if he could keep more systems in line.
Tom Rosenstiel, Executive Director of API, American Press Institute. Let's hear what you're thinking about this question. What do you think about Al Jazeera coming to home television screens around the country? Andrew in Athens, Georgia, joins us on the Sirius Satellite Network. Andrew, go ahead.
Greetings, good sir. Thank you for having me.
Sure, you bet. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying I've been in the U.S. Army for quite some time, and I was in Iraq in 2005, 2006. And we as U.S. troops heard, and on more than one occasion talked about it, that Al Jazeera would be at IED sites before the IED exploded to set up their cameras and everything, and was there, of course, to catch all the action. And, of course, that's something that we didn't know at the time, and it never happened to anybody in my unit. But I became a little bit leery, even though I can listen to NPR, consider myself very progressive, and I'm even liberal in many, many occasions.
And Andrew, Andrew, are you saying that you heard that was the case, or did you actually experience that where their crews were there at the time of an IED explosion?
No, I heard it. I actually was working public affairs for my brigade, which was the 3rd Armored Division Brigade. So I'm not just your average guy walking around, but actually did a lot of media-type things within that brigade. But we even talked about it there, that it was a little bit suspicious. And again, that was, 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
So many years ago. And obviously, when I was in Afghanistan, I would catch Al Jazeera when Armed Forces Network would broadcast it. I was there in 2009, 2010. So I don't have anything concrete. I just mentioned it as a discussion point that I would hope that wasn't the case, even back in 2005, that they would do that just for a good news story on the Arab front.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks. Thanks for raising that concern. Bob Wheelock, response, please.
To be honest, I can't fairly respond. I can't imagine it in the Al Jazeera I know and work in. And again, the gentleman professes not to have seen it himself. The standards in the code of ethics that we're under would not allow that, and certainly someone would get fired. I hate to say this, but a lot of good journalism sometimes is good luck, being right place, staffed properly in the right time. I really can't respond to it. I don't believe that it's true. I have no reason to think it's true. I can assure you it wouldn't be true today by any stretch. Um, So that's all I can say to that.
And Bob Wheelock, in terms of the code of ethics, which Al Jazeera subscribes to and I've looked at as well, does that code apply across all the different Al Jazeeras? You were saying before the break that there might be somewhat different editorial policies in place for the Arab service than there would be for Al Jazeera English versus Al Jazeera America, so forth and so on. Or does everyone subscribe to that same set of principles?
It was Philip who actually said very eloquently what I would have said. It holds to everybody, whether it's Al Jazeera, Arabic, Balkan, Turk, Americas. It's what we're demanded to work under. I think Philip did explain very well. You know, it's sort of dependent on whichever channel you work at. Is going to be somewhat geared more towards that audience and that coverage area. The new Al Jazeera America will take on a little more of coverage. We're going to increase our coverage of domestic North America. We'll increase our bureaus across America. We'll also increase, because it's hugely important to us, our coverage, which I'm already very proud of Latin America and Central America. We like to refer to it as the Americas because that's what we cover. But the code of ethics is quite strict, as it is in every journal. Look, other organizations I've worked in too, that kind of stage setting would not be tolerated.
Yeah, Philip Sieb, anything you want to add to the concern that Andrew voiced?
I think Bob has put it very well, and it should also be noted that Al Jazeera, like any number of other news organizations, has lost correspondents in combat, and it should be recognized that Al Jazeera, just like other news organizations, has people out there covering wars who sometimes don't come back, and I've heard that story about being on the scene of IED explosions. I've never seen any story that had solid evidence of that, and because of that, I'm suspicious of it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But until I see some solid evidence, I'm not going to believe it. Because as Bob said, Al Jazeera is a solid news organization, and they're not going to tolerate that kind of thing because that's so against journalistic ethics. It simply cannot be tolerated.
Andrew, thanks for raising the concern, and thanks for joining our program. Let's go next to Lemoyne in San Francisco. Lemoyne, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I welcome Al Jazeera being on television. I think it will expand access to information. I regularly consume and read newspapers from Latin America, Al Jazeera, Jerusalem Post, for that matter, and the U.S. press. And I've always found Al Jazeera to be a very professional, very objective, very well-run news outlet. And I think more information is better. And I think we should all be very suspicious and weary of those who would try to deny us information, especially those who want to deny us information and try to explain to us that it's for our own good. So I think more information and more access is inherently better. Thank
Lemoyne,
you.
Thanks. Thanks for offering your point of view. Let's go next to Scott in Santa Rosa. Scott, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good morning. I had a comment and a question, although I think a lot of my questions have already been taken care of. But I was in Qatar in 2008, and we were there visiting. It was a great, great visit. But we were struck by what a great news station Al Jazeera English was. Really, my mother-in-law is very conservative. I'm much more liberal. But both of us were completely blown away by it to the point that she actually looks up Al Jazeera news online now just to find out information there. So that it shows how balanced I think that it was. It really felt a little bit more like BBC than what we get here a lot, but I would definitely welcome it here in the States, and I think my mother-in-law would watch it as well.
Scott, thank you. Thanks for offering your point of view about that as well. Will there be a difference, Bob Wheelock, between Al Jazeera English and Al Jazeera America? Can you describe what the new service will be in terms of how it differs from what is already available?
Not with great specifics. The deal has been many, many, many months in the works and very difficult to achieve, and it's been done. The intent is to again, with what we think is maybe a ninefold increase in via how homes available to us. We will try to do some stories that we quite honestly didn't have the resources to do before. There is a fascination with America, whether people like us or not, with American culture, with American lifestyle, with American science technology. We intend to do more of that. We will be able to cover America better because I'll have more resources to work with, which I'm thrilled about. News of day stories, we'll still do the hard news of days, but sometimes, you know, we've had to make decision of how do we do that good sidebar piece that is Al Jazeera, we still stay on the news of day topic. You know, how do we find a good companion story? A big story in Al Jazeera has been the rape story in India and the visceral reaction to it. In this country, you know what, on American Indian reservations, rape is a huge problem. And we're working on that story, trying to get that done. You know, we will have more people, more staff, more resources. We'll be able to cover the Americas better. And again, that includes Latin America. And there will be, you know, we've got to figure out some programming that we're going to try to find that is, you know, maybe slightly more in tune with domestic sensibilities. But again, we don't want to, we cannot lose what makes us different and unique and why people watch us now, however they see us.
How much of an advantage, or is it an advantage, Tom Rosenstiel, that Al Jazeera has all the resources that that Bob was just describing? I mean, is there, if Bob were at his own network at ABC, you know, they don't have bureaus like this anymore. Al Jazeera has over 70 bureaus. Does that represent a potential real competitive advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of the dirty little secret of why NBC and American television has emerged as the most successful of the broadcast operations, because it's not actually just a broadcast operation, unlike ABC and CBS. It owns CNBC, so its financial coverage comes from that. It owns MSNBC, so it amortizes its NBC people across its cable channel. It owns the Weather Channel, so its weather coverage comes. So this is a matter of amortization of your costs across more channels. You're going to see more of that. It's why CNN, which is perceived to be a struggling network in terms of its audience appeal in the United States, actually is financially a very successful operation, because its website, its CNN International, it amortizes its 30 bureaus overseas much more. This serves many purposes. It serves the purposes that Phil was describing that the royal family wants, but it really, you know, more journalism helps you create more journalism. And the more you can spread these things across different channels, including digital, the more the work sort of enriches and justifies itself. You know, this is the old element that made what some people now call industrial journalism or big oligarchical news organizations, made them strong, is that they had so much resources they could spend more time on stories. They knew more things about more different places. You were able to create knowledge from having these more sentinels in more places.
And back to our callers. Drew joins us next from Louisiana. Drew, go ahead.
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the Al Jazeera's work during the oil spill, which is, you know, we still have deformities in seafood and people with health issues, and they're finishing that settlement up. But as far as the national media here in the States, nobody would touch those stories, you know, because there was a huge investigation. But Dar from Al Jazeera did a great job of not only talking about the, you know, interviewing sick people, but also talking about the deformities and the things that scientists were finding in the seafood. And largely, they were ignored because they were in direct conflict with the industry and with what policy had already been dictated, you know. So I think that I think Al Jazeera, at least with the spill in the Gulf, had done a great job and brought some truth out we never would have gotten.
Drew, thank you. Philip Siebes, it's interesting because part of what's emerging over the course of this hour is this realization, at least that I'm beginning to realize, which is that while we think of Al Jazeera providing a different worldview than what we get in American journalism, it's also going to provide different coverage of America than we would get otherwise.
Well, that's one advantage of having a foreign-based news organization come in and look at this country through different eyes, and also without some of the constraints that might be related to the business side of journalism. So it's another great voice, and anything that can give people more opportunity for choice among the news providers is a good thing, I think, and Al Jazeera has shown it's not a rookie anymore. It has established its record. It can take a look at conditions in the United States as well as in Southern Africa and do a good job of reporting them. So we're lucky to have them.
Comments coming in on our website and on our email mail. Here's one from Tony who writes, no matter how bad Al Jazeera is, they can't possibly be worse than CNN, NBC, or CBS. Those three gave up any pretext of unbiased news coverage years ago. Bill writes, I think America would benefit if we would allow ourselves to overcome our isolationist way of looking at things. My country, right or wrong, does not allow for other points of view, and that's a disservice to us as a country. Christian writes, I welcome the return of Al Jazeera to the U.S. airwaves. I'm among the few who did tune in to Current TV, enjoying various programs. As a Comcast subscriber, I earnestly hope they don't pull the station from their lineup and am relieved so far that they have not. And back to our calls. Maria, you're next in Healdsburg. Maria, go ahead.
Thank you. But I pulled over because I wanted to make this comment. I wanted to compliment Al Jazeera on their coverage of, and your speaker mentioned it before, of Central America, and particularly Honduras and the Aguas massacre in Honduras that occurred in the middle of May. They ran a piece that was probably, I don't know, 15 minutes or so long, and I know it took them a lot of money to do it because they had to, as we did, go, you know, by plane, by boat, by launch, interview witnesses, victims, and say from my own experience, I know that they were the most accurate and extensive coverage of that particular event. So I hope they can continue, and I look forward to getting them in Healdsburg.
Maria, thanks. Thanks for offering your point of view on this as well. Next to John in Sacramento. John, you're on.
Yes, I'm just ecstatic that Al Jazeera America is coming. I'm a retired person, and I get my news from all over the world. I read papers from India to Australia and to England and Germany, and I think the different perspective that Al Jazeera will bring is very welcome and refreshing, and everyone that I've turned on to Al Jazeera has gotten back to me and said they really like the reporting. Occasionally there is a different perspective. I think the Arab perspective, especially on one of the talk shows that's hosted by a man that does interviews like David Frost, and they're very enlightening, and I'm very excited about it.
John, thank you. Philip C., before this turns into the Al Jazeera Love Fest hour here, do you any concerns, any sort of caveats that you would advise for American news consumers?
Well, not so much for American news consumers, but just for this whole picture we're painting of Al Jazeera's arrival on the scene. I wonder to the extent to which cable news is being turned to. I think it might have been Tom or somebody mentioned earlier that people get their news nowadays, international
yeah.
news, particularly from the internet. And I must confess that my television watching is limited to baseball, and all my news gathering comes online. I read, I read a number of newspapers from the Middle East every day. I read three or four American newspapers, all online, and I should add, all for free. And I just wonder if we're moving away from this from cable television or any television for that matter being a dominant source for news, and for that matter just television as we know it. I think within a few years the internet will supersede television to an even greater extent than it has today in technological terms.
Well, that's an interesting point to pursue for a moment. Tom Rosenstiel, come back on that, and I'd like your take as well, Bob.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, we're stumbling somewhat toward a moment where the device that's hanging on your wall or sitting, you know, on the wall is essentially another computer. You know, you'll have three sizes of screen. One will be a phone, one will be a tablet, and one will be what we used to call a television. And you'll be able to stream through it and watch on demand what you want. And it will operate like a television, but the menu will be something not quite like Google, but certainly more than a clicker. What that does to watching news, I think, is a little less clear, because to some extent news is what's happening now. Whether people will click to watch an appointment program or a summarizing newscast, I don't think we know, but the internet will become, in a sense, more visual. I don't know if it matters in the end whether the delivery system of video news is digital or broadcast or cable. What I think matters is: do you want to watch it or do you want to read it? And I think the answer is that the story determines the medium. There are certain things that are better understood by watching them, and there are certain things that may be better understood by reading some text. There's also an element of how hard is it to get three lines of text to somebody versus getting a meaningful package or what's more efficient. The audience in the United States, and I'm sure elsewhere in the world, is remarkable about finding efficiency. What's a convenient way to learn what I want to learn right now? And it may be that television becomes less efficient because you have to sift, you have to wait, you have to sit through more time. You know, is it better to watch the local news to get the weather, or is it better to go to weather.com?
Yeah. And Bob Wheelock, how do you plan to break through that challenge that both Philip and Tom Rosenstiel have described?
Well, I mean, look, this deal has given us an enormous opportunity to fill up some of those 70-inch screens in people's households, and it's something we've long for and wanted. The internet is, of course, still hugely important to us, and we need to pay attention to that. I'm a father of teenage boys. I watch how they consume information and news, and there's, you know, there's lessons to be learned. Our task is going to be, again, one, to stay true to our content and our product that we've been known for, and then two, again, how to balance all these different means of distribution, including the phone. I mean, you know, I have done days, I've been out in the field alone. I'll be honest, during the convention in Tampa, we could not get Al Jazeera on the air. I got it off my computer and my phone. That's how I watched what we were doing. You know, wasn't ideal for me, but it was available, as Tom said, and it worked. It was available right then. So, you know, we plan to be across all those platforms. We plan to be strong in all those platforms. The biggest thing is to remain, as I say, true to our content, true to the mission, which is to do these stories that we feel are editorially correct, not always politically correct. That's what we do.
And let's get in one more caller. Saul joins us from Palo Alto. Saul, go ahead.
Al Jazeera Online today had a story that says, anti-Muslim violence flares out of control in America. Now, either the American press is missing something serious or Al Jazeera is being inflammatory. In 1 year of reading Al Jazeera Online, I have not seen a single story which could be construed as being pro-American. Now, I think that that's evidence that they have a very strong political view, and it carries very much through their articles.
All right. Saul, I'm going to hold you there. You've raised a useful and an important question, and I just want to go once around on that as a way of getting in last comments from each of you. Bob Wheelock first.
I'd refer back to Drew in Louisiana, and I point to our coverage of the oil spill and the continuing disease of the fishing industry down there. To us, that's pro-American coverage. American people deserve to know what's going on and what's not being taken care of.
And Tom Rosenthal.
Well, I don't think people should be naive and think that there's something called the planet journalism and that things just spring organically from journalism. This is a work of people. These people are hired. These people have values. They're rewarded and discouraged for certain kinds of stories and other kinds of stories. It may not be direct, but news organizations have values. Those values are influenced by the audience. They're influenced by the owners. That's why Fox News, the New York Post is different than the New York Times and MSNBC. Not all journalism is the same because it is the work of people in a marketplace.
And Phil Steve, in the end, is that sort of a useful reminder that this is a useful service, it sounds like, from each of your points of view, but we shouldn't diet on it alone.
Well, that's right. And as I think I mentioned earlier, that there is no news that is presented without bias. People, and it's human beings, are making choices about what to cover and what not to cover, who to talk to, who not to talk to, and so on. I'd rather have news that's not pro anything, but just straight delivery of information, and I'll make up my own mind about who I'm pro or against. And I'm convinced that Al Jazeera does that about as well as most other news organizations.
Philip Sieb, professor of journalism and director of the USC Center on Public Diplomacy. Philip, thanks for being with us this hour.
You're welcome.
Tom Rosenthal joined us as well, executive director of the American Press Institute. Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
And Bob Wheelock, executive producer for the Americas for Al Jazeera English. Bob, thanks very much. Best of luck in your new venture.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Paul Ancour is our engineer today, and Raul Ramirez is our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson. This is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.